I'm most proud of, branching out, putting myself in uncomfortable situations where I know I'm gonna need help. And like, I think I've realized that putting myself in those situations that are uncomfortable are where I've grown the most and where it's helped me to grow more as a person. How are you?
I'm well, and I appreciate you taking the time, despite your busy schedule. For the hundreds of thousands of listeners, that's where you laugh, what are you currently doing?
So I am currently working as a registered behavior technician, working with kids on the spectrum, doing early childhood intervention. And I also just recently started a master's program online for a master's in applied behavior analysis. And so my goal is that after I graduate, I will pass the exam and become a behavior analyst so that I would supervise RBTs and be creating behavior plans for students and other children.
So let's go back to like 4 or 5 years ago, I guess 5 years ago now. And so you go to Florida State. What went into that decision and that process? How did you wind up at Florida State?
So throughout high school, I did the capstone program, the AP capstone, and I did my research for one of the projects into behavior, and I loved it. And I knew I was really interested in specifically behavior and the way the brain works and the way it affects behavior. So then I looked into and found that behavioral neuroscience was a major. So I started looking into schools that had that specifically, but at the time it was a lot newer a field, and there was only a few schools at the time that had the program, Florida State being one. And I knew I wanted to branch out and go somewhere far away and have like a fresh start and experience a new place, because I felt like there was a better time, the best time to do it. It was when I was going off for college. And so it's kind of how I wound up at Florida State.
To preface this, you, and I say obviously because I know you and just think extremely highly of you, but
Thank you. You
go to Florida State and you find a lot of success academically, but like, were there moments of struggle sort of in terms of whether it was major, minor career steps? Like what sort of, and again, like I know there were some struggles, so it's like a leading question here, but like, how did you kind of counterbalance those struggles and like work through them, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually went into school with that being my major, but pre-med, with the set of my mind that I was going to medical school. Because growing up, whenever anyone asked me, that was always what I said and what I had set my mind to. And then when I was nearing the end of college, I kind of had a moment, because I was working in the hospital at the time. And I was like, I enjoyed it. It was a great experience. I learned a lot. I can't see myself doing that forever. And so I was finishing up college and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I have this degree and I think it's interesting and I enjoyed it, but the field that I'm in now, I knew nothing about. I didn't even know it was a thing. And so I was like, okay, at this point, I just need to start working and start getting experience and kind of see where it goes. So while I was in my senior year, I was working in an after-school program and I knew I loved working with kids. And that kind of was part of where my interest in behavior came from, was specifically in young kids. The way the brain develops and the way that affects behavior as you mature and as you grow up. And so I was like, okay, maybe I would like teaching. So I had a friend who was going to work in a school and I went to work with her in the preschool. And while I was there, they asked me if I was interested in trying out the inclusion classroom and being a teacher in there. And so I started working in there, working with kids with different disabilities and different capabilities, and I realized that I loved it. It was such a rewarding experience, but I think I had a moment where I was like, okay, I think I want to do more than this. And I had therapists that came into the room and worked with some of my students at the time. And that's where I was like, that's interesting. I like what they're doing. And that's kind of how I wound up where I am now. But backtracking, sorry, went on a tangent.
No, that's great.
Yeah, but I kind of had to have that check out with myself at one point in college that I was like, I have been saying this is what I want to do. And I was so set on it that I didn't realize that it wasn't totally what I could see myself doing forever anymore. And kind of had that moment of panic when I had that realization that I don't know what I want to do. But thankfully I had friends and a support system that was there for me and helped me to realize that I just had to start going and eventually I would figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really, to me, that is very brave and courageous to, especially when for many years you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this, and then to sort of, you know, rethink, backtrack, and say, actually, I'm going to pivot. I guess the most important sort of point for you to get there was just to lean in on your inner circle. Like, would that be your advice to folks? Because again, I see it with a lot of Delaware College Scholar students of like, hey, I'm going pre-med, like this is it. And then I think at some point, sometimes that there's like a fork in the road of like, you know, they think, oh, actually maybe this isn't what I want to do. So I guess for those folks, your best advice would be to lean on your circle.
Definitely lean on your circle, but also trust yourself. Like I had to have that moment where I was like, no, this doesn't feel right. And to like, just trust my gut that I knew what was best for me and that I didn't want to be stuck in something that I couldn't see myself enjoying forever. So just trusting yourself, I think, is a big part of it too.
Was there, and you mentioned being in the inclusion classrooms and really getting that hands-on experience there. Was there a specific light bulb moment of like, this is what I have to do? Or was it just many moments of going back in that classroom, being with professionals and just seeing the work that they do? Because I don't know if it's as easy as like a light bulb moment, but it could be.
I think it was kind of a combination of both, where it was like I had so many like small rewarding moments with the kids, but then also seeing their growth over the whole year. Like it was like, wow, this is so rewarding to see how much they could grow. And then I think I kind of had like the light bulb moment a little bit more when I saw the therapist working and like had them telling me how they've been with this kid for like 3 years and how much they've seen them progress over like such an extended period of time. And I realized that's kind of what I wanted, was to be able to work with kids one-on-one to build that relationship and have it live past that and see them continue growing and continue progressing.
What do you enjoy most about your work? I would imagine a lot of what you just said is probably what you enjoy, but.
Yeah. So right now I work with two kids and I love them both. They're the sweetest little girls in the world and they light up my day and they just, I don't know. I think it's such an interesting job and an interesting way. And like, it challenges me every day because like there's times where I have to remind myself to take a breath and to be patient and just to be there for them in the best way that I can be, because they need that support and they need someone to advocate for them and they need someone that's going to help them work through what they're going through and help them to communicate that to the people who don't, that aren't with them every day and who don't understand the way that they're thinking and the way that their brain is working. And so I think it's really rewarding to be able to be that person for someone and to help them to acquire those skills for themselves, to be able to advocate for themselves.
What makes you currently as an RBT, what makes you effective, most effective?
I think I'm really good at looking at the whole picture. Especially when we're talking about behavior, like there's so many different things that can affect it. But I think I'm really good at being able to take a step back and figure out, okay, what's really causing this in the moment and what's the best way to help them in the moment. So I guess also just like being quick on my feet.
In terms of going backtracking a bit, I have a lot of folks who are entering college, or I should say who will be entering college as first gen students next fall. What advice would you maybe have for those folks? And I recently had a conversation with a cohort 2 alum and asked her the same question, because really for a lot of folks, it's that first year. Like once you can get through that first year, then success rate is higher and you feel more comfortable. So I guess just like advice for them as they kind of start to approach that first year and might have some challenges, struggles that they just haven't had in middle or high school.
I mean, my biggest piece of advice is don't be afraid to ask for help. Like as coming from someone who like, I have such a hard time asking for help when I need it. It really does make a difference. And whether it's asking a friend for help, like having a support system of people who are in your classes that you can lean on, or having a mentor, someone who you can look up to and lean on. But also like utilize the resources. Like I know at FSU, like they have like the Learning and Reading Center, and they have so many different like study groups there, or even within like the courses, like people would message all the time, like, who wants to go study, like use those resources to your advantage and to help you be more successful. And then I think also, yeah, like going in the first semester, like just finding what works for you and like being flexible until you find like what, cause I had to adjust the way I studied from high school to college. Like it was a different mindset and a different workload. And so I think adjusting takes time to give yourself grace when you're going through that it's an adjustment. It takes time. But once you find what works, then it helps a lot.
For you, like specifically the studying strategies, like again, like knowing workload enhances, how did you have to shift your approach? Like what was, again, I know I'm asking you to think back a ways away, but what was the approach in high school and sort of how did that have to change for you to be successful? And you were very successful. So
I think in high school, I like was more like go with the flow, less planning. And when I got to college, like, and I still, it's something I use to this day now. Like I always keep, like, I have my little agenda or like, I like to do these weekly.
Hey, look,
little weekly planners. At the start of every week, like I would take time to sit down and list out, okay, what needs to get done this week and plan it out for each day. Like, this is what I need to get done to stay ahead of things. And looking ahead to like what bigger things there were, like, cause in high school, I didn't have to study as much for tests and stuff. But in college, it was like, I would want to study for like 2 weeks before an exam if I knew if it was going to be a really hard one, especially when I got into my upper level courses, where it was a lot of information, or maybe we only had like two exams in a semester. So it was many, many weeks worth of material on the exam. Definitely like spreading out the time that I'm studying and starting earlier was a big adjustment too.
You, as you mentioned, you recently, I mean, I think you literally like just started your master's
Monday,
program. Yeah, Monday, right? Mm-hmm. God, see, I'm the worst bothering you on a week that you just started. So we
all good.
We can keep that in. No, I'm the worst. What are you, being a handful of days mm-hmm. in, or not even, what are you most excited about as you sort of, look ahead and...
So I love that my program's online because I'm working while I'm doing my program. And I'll be getting like to sit for the exam after I graduate. I have to have so many supervision hours. So I'm looking forward to like being able to apply what I'm learning right away, which that was one of the reasons I realized that like medical school wasn't for me, because I'm such a like, I just want to start going and doing. And so the thought of like sitting in a classroom for another however many years, it wasn't appealing to me. So I love that this is like, I'm learning it one night and the next day I can apply it at work right away. And my supervisor, I love, she's amazing. And she's going to help me like to sit down. And like she said, she's going to try to pair up what I'm applying each day with what she's having me do within the supervision with what I'm learning. So it'll like all line up together. And I feel like it's going to be a very cohesive way to learn it all.
I'm really proud of myself here, because I'm keeping this very short and sweet and to the point, because I only really have two more questions left for you.
Okay.
If you had to speak to your 16-year-old self, what's mm-hmm. one piece of advice you would give that person?
Ooh, that's a tough one. And I think I kind of touched on this earlier. It's okay to ask for help. I think I like for such a long time was stuck in the mindset that like I had to do everything on my own and I had to always be like a solid, strong, like independent person. And like it became to the point where I would need help and I wouldn't ask for it. And I think it affected both like my academic life and my personal life. And so I think finally like having that realization was big for me, and it's made a big difference to know that like it's okay. One, that it's okay to make mistakes, and two, that it's okay to ask for help when you know.
How did you, as somebody that really struggles asking for help, mm-hmm. like this is now, this podcast has become like Jake's life advice. how did you get comfortable?
I think it wasn't until I started the job that I'm in now that I've really become the most comfortable with it, because my supervisor, like I said already, she's amazing. But she has a lot of humility in that, like when she makes a mistake, she'll call herself out on it right in front of me and be like, see, I make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. This is what I should have done differently. So it makes me feel a lot more comfortable that when I'm in a situation where I'm like, I think I might be doing this wrong, I don't feel uncomfortable to go to her and be like, hey, I'm doing this wrong. Like, what do I need to do differently? So I think having like that sort of relationship with someone where it is very comfortable helped me make a good foundation, and I've been able to then like branch out, feeling more comfortable asking for help in other contexts too.
That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that. All right, my last question for you, and this is tough. What, just reflecting on life, and you can keep this like work, professional, school, or just life in general. What are you most proud of?
I mean, I think it kind of ties back into the last one, but I think I'm most proud of branching out, putting myself in uncomfortable situations where I know I'm gonna need help. And like, I think I've realized that putting myself in those situations that are uncomfortable are where I've grown the most and where it's helped me to grow more as a person. So I guess it's more of like a personal thing, but just like being comfortable with the uncomfortable.